Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stonewalled.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media, at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. Huntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. We are on to week four. That's right. A quarter of the college football season is already behind us. And man, I hope you got a good couch and TV set up at your house, because this weekend is simply amazing. We have huge matchups, six top 25 games, a bunch of undefeated teams teeing off against each other, sure to have a bunch of implications later on in the season. Jake, it's great to be a college football fan. What's going on, my man?
Dude, absolutely going to be a great weekend. Get your popcorn ready, get the smokers fired up, yeah. Go eat some meat, and get ready to watch a lot of college football.
I tell you what, man, you know, I know you're up in the D.C. area. I'm down here in Atlanta, and the mornings, it's that crisp 60 degrees. I was out back with my kids this afternoon, a little breeze, about 75, nice and dry. Fall is right around the corner, and it's an exciting time. And like you said, get on the couch, get outside, get the smoker going. You know how else you can make your weekend even better? By downloading the Prize Picks app. This episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. When you download the Prize Picks app, or when you sign up on prizepicks.com, use the promo code PUNT and you get a deposit match of 100% up to $100. That's right. Use the promo code PUNT when you sign up, free $100 when you deposit $100. How does Prize Picks work? You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they go more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on an entry. They've got college football. They've got NFL. They've got PGA golf. The Ryder Cup's coming up next weekend. That's awesome. They've got NBA. They've got Major League Baseball. They've got everything. Get on over to Prize Picks, prizepicks.com, the best daily fantasy app in the game, and founded by a Georgia Bulldog, Big Daddy, Adam Wexler. Shout out to the Wex Daddy. They're crushing it right now, and they're giving away free dough for Punt and Pass listeners. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. DB's three-piece hitting this weekend. I've got it dialed up. That's coming in a little bit. All right, let's do three and out, Jake. Three top storylines across the world of college football. First down, second down, third down. Then we'll go inside the five. We'll give everybody the breakdown on the biggest games of the weekend, of which there are many. So you got an action-packed episode of Punt and Pass right here. First things first, though, back to how we opened the show. First down, huge weekend of college football. Last weekend left a lot to be desired. I'll just say it. This weekend, it makes up for it in droves. Six top 25 matchups, Jake. One of them that's not even a top 25 matchup, because Clemson isn't ranked, is number 4 Florida State at Clemson. That game is at noon. Colorado undefeated, ranked 19th, going to Oregon. Oregon's the 10th ranked team. Ole Miss at Alabama, a top 15 matchup. That's sure to be a good one. And then some Big Ten. Penn State, Iowa, Ohio State, Notre Dame, even though they're not in the Big Ten. Dude, it's going to be sick. I mean, this is a weekend that you're going to look back on in November and be like, man, if they had won in week four, they could be in the college football playoff.
Yeah, you make a great point right there. Still early in the season, teams are trying to figure out who they are, what, you know, what their aspirations are late in the year. This is kind of where it starts. This is a place and a time in the season to get that ball rolling, get some momentum. And really to kind of show the world on a world stage that, hey, we're here to play. This is our season that we're going to go make a run at this thing. You mentioned it too. It's not in that top 25 matchup, but Florida State and Clemson, man. Florida State didn't play great last week. They got ahead early, let Boston College come back and really almost should have beaten them. Let's see how they respond at Clemson. So that's going to be a tough one. But, dude, it's just littered with some good games. I still like Arkansas and LSU.
Yeah.
I think that's a good game. I mean, it's absolutely an SEC matchup. Arkansas, man, I just love my Fighting Pittmans, man. They just play hard for them. So, dude, it's just littered. I mean, where do you want to start? Just throw it out there and it's going to be good.
Yeah, no doubt. We're obviously going to break down the Ohio State Notre Dame game in just a little bit, but an atmosphere like that, one in which you've played it, the night game at Notre Dame, this is a top 10 matchup. Ohio State Notre Dame, two of the premier blue bloods in all of college football history. What do you think Sam Hartman's going through? I mean, the guy is off to a ripping start to 2023, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions, climbing up the Heisman ranks. If he wins this game at home, he'll be in the top three for the Heisman candidacy. No question about it. Don't look now. I have a future on Sam Hartman. So go Sam Hartman. That would be awesome. But that atmosphere, Notre Dame at night. I mean, you went there, you saw it, you conquered it. Talk to the audience about something like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's an awesome place to play. I mean, I was blessed enough to – I mean, that was my first start. So,
oh, God, it was your first start. I forgot just, about that.
Just welcome to college football. Here you go. Let's just give you and take you to the most nostalgic place in all of college football. So that was really neat, man. Just their shiny gold helmets, just everything about it. Just, it was just so cool. Just a traditional place. The stadium's nothing to really blow you away with. I mean, honestly, it had a high school feel to it, just how close everybody was. There was no place to just throw and get loose on the sideline. I mean, it was just jam-packed. But, man, it was fun. I don't know. It was just fun. I was just trying to soak in, enjoy every minute of it. Terry made some awesome fade catch for me. Kind of the rest is history, you know, so – that was fun. Sam Hartman's going to have a really cool atmosphere coming to town. And I think if he can get this win, I think they'll be on to something.
Yeah. Marcus Freeman, the head coach at Notre Dame, he's an Ohio State alum. He played linebacker at Ohio State. So a lot of heartstrings there. This is going to be an awesome game. And I think what you mean by saying the stadium's nothing that blows you away, single level, kind of those northern football stadiums where, they're close to you, but the stadium kind of goes out, unlike a Neyland where you walk in, it's 110,000, it's straight up and down, or like an LSU where the student section's right on top of you, gigantic 95,000 people that are all just crazy. I'm guessing that's what you kind of mean by that.
Yeah. 100%. It's just, it's not very tall. And from what I heard from all the fans that traveled in my family, the fans there at Notre Dame were just awesome. Very nice, very respectful. Man, great atmosphere and a great place to play.
Are you aware of the moment when you're going into that first start, or are you so focused on, I got to execute the game plan, I hope I don't turn the ball over, I don't want to fall on my face, or are you taking it in, you know, Rudy, gold helmets, touchdown Jesus, was all that going through your head, you know, Friday into Saturday into pregame warmups? Obviously, when the game kicks off, you're not worried about any of that stuff.
Yeah, no, it was just, hey, what's the plan? Get me to the game and take it play by play. It was really hard to kind of take in the moment of the game because the game was so down to the wire and close the whole time. So it was really not until we won and after the game, like, oh, hey, man, we're here and we just did this. This is going to be a great plane ride home. But really just taking it in play by play. I just, hey, whatever it is, I'm going to go execute this and hopefully it all works out.
We're going off on a tangent here. I don't know if I've told you this, but I've said it in years past, maybe before the 2019 Notre Dame game, which I was at, which you, of course, played in. I didn't go to that game, okay?
Yeah.
I was born in Chicago, lived in Chicago for 10 years. The Falcons played the Bears that weekend. The Cubs game was in town. I think I had no less than three legitimately badass invites. Hey, Drew, come with our group. We're playing golf here. Going to Notre Dame. Going to the Falcons game. Hey, Drew, come up on Thursday. We're going to play golf here. We're going to go to the Cubs game. All these. I mean, everybody went. My wife was a bridesmaid in one of her very close friends' weddings in Stonington, Connecticut. Beautiful New England coastal town. You know, I gave her the one, Kent, and it was like, no, absolutely not. You're coming with me. I'm in the wedding. You're coming to this wedding. I was like, damn it. The wedding was awesome. I mean, the people are great. They're still married, so props to them. They do have a kid now, too, and I think she's pregnant. So number two on the way. Congrats to them.
Congrats.
But I was fired up. You know, I'm not in the wedding. So my wife, all during Saturday, she's doing her thing. We didn't have kids at this point. I'm up in this coastal New England town just doing well. I'm like watching football, having a couple of drinks. Well, the wedding starts. I've got my phone out. I'm like, you know, this is it. This is the game. I got to watch my dogs. It comes down to the wire. I just left the wedding, went back to the hotel room, watched like the last 10 minutes of the game. I was like, yeah, you guys do your thing. I got to see this happen. Saw the fade to Terry. Saw Rodriguez kick late. Dogs win. I go back to the wedding, and we celebrated. He had one of the coolest things I've ever seen. He had a scotch tasting bar at his wedding. He's a huge scotch collector, the groom was. So at his wedding, you know, they had the thing, the cocktails, the bar. And then on the other side for the gentleman, he had busted out some of his favorite bottles of scotch, and we took it pretty deep that night. I obviously was celebrating a huge dogs victory. So that's my Notre Dame story for everybody there.
Dogs win, baby.
But dogs Let's go. Speaking of the dogs, I just want to touch on this before we go to second down. Don't turn the podcast off, but I'm about to give the AJC some props, okay? Chip Towers wrote a really good article. It was in the AJC Thursday morning, and he was breaking down, air quotes, Georgia's offensive struggles. And props to Chip. He dove into the stats, and he was like, hey, I think we need to put things in perspective. Listen to this, Jake. You and I talked about it on Monday. It's the red zone troubles that are really exacerbating people's frustrations with Georgia not being able to score. I could not believe this. I knew they were good a year ago. I did not know quite how good. From Chip's article, Georgia's red zone percentage through a perfect 15-0 season last year was a near perfect 98.67%, number one in the FBS. That's just scoring once you get into the red zone. That is unprecedented.
Automatic
98.67% a year ago, 15-0, number one in the FBS. Through three games this season, the Bulldogs sit at 72.7%, which ranks 94th nationally. But here is how it gets magnified. Okay. Three times this season, Georgia came away empty after penetrating an opponent's 20-yard line. That happened only twice last season. So in 15 games a season ago, they got in to the red zone and didn't score two times in 15 games. This year, through three games, it's already happened three times. Okay. Three of the red zone failures ended with missed field goal attempts by freshman place kicker Peyton Woodring. He's missed from 27, 28, and 43 yards. The Bulldogs were 81 of 83 in the red zone last season. Jake, that blew my head off. I was like, holy shit, that is some elite football in the red zone. And when you convert at a clip like that, I don't care if it's 81 field goals and no touchdowns, that's remarkable. So it puts things into perspective. And then when you miss those short chip shot field goals, man, that is so deflating, as you and I have discussed.
Yeah, I mean, that's just such an impressive number. You really can't even fathom it. I mean, that's just automatic getting in there. When you get in the red zone, man, we're getting points. And then on top of that, when you get in the red zone, especially as a quarterback, no offense to the kickers, but man, we are there to get 7 points.
Of course.
Like, that is the goal.
That's how you break open games.
100%. That's how you just really get ahead. You stick a knife in the other team, hit them with a dagger. And when we're scoring touchdowns, it gets everybody going, gets the rhythm of the game going. The guys are hyped, and you get a really good feel of the game. So I don't think they're converting, having that touchdown conversion rate as well as they are. I see something here that they're only scoring a touchdown 56% of the time rather than 68% as they were last year. So, you know, that number differential isn't huge, but it makes a big difference in these games. You know, we take one here, one there. So get in the red zone, score touchdowns. That's what we want to see. And then break these games wide open.
All right, I need you to stick up for quarterbacks and the offense as a whole. Chip Towers continues, and I just want your perspective here. Yeah. Often, the Bulldogs' red zone opportunities haven't been ideal. They've been first and goal at the 10-yard line three times, and in between the 6 and 8-yard lines three times, and we're between the 11 and 14-yard lines another five times. This lack of space in which to operate, quote from Kirby Smart, there's not really a worse situation. I think what Coach Smart's saying there is it really condenses the playbook as to what you can run with such limited amounts of field in front of you. Talk to our audience. What happens to the playbook? Where do you go on the play call sheet when you're at the 5, 10, 14-yard line?
Yeah, I'm going with Coach Smart on this one 100%. It's not the ideal situation. It's not great when you're first and goal at the 10. It sucks because you are limited on the plays that are really, really good from that yard line, so to speak. So it's
what is your ideal play? Give me your three play calls, 10 yard line, first and goal, you know, go. Are we running the ball first?
First and goal, at the 10, man, give me a play action pass. Let me get a tight end involved. Let's somehow get to a corner route here. Let's get isolated and one-on-one coverage here. I think everybody, once you get inside the goal line, I'm gonna give you a run here.
So your first down, play action, involved. You had to throw it out of the back of the end zone. What's second down?
Second
and goal, 10-yard line.
Man, give me a jet sweep. I think everybody wants to get kind of crammed in there and get tight in the box because everybody knows, I mean, there's just not a whole lot of space. So let me go create space by a jet sweep. Let me get around the edge. I've seen them try to do that a couple times. I believe Brock scored on a jet sweep on a goal-to-go situation when they were down there on the one. So that's something they've tried and done before and had success with. So say we're in third down at the 10.
I mean, Mecole jet sweep field side. He dove for the goal line. He's out at the 1.5-yard line. It's third and goal. You're right there. Need a yard and a half. What's the play call?
Third and one. So let me fake a jet sweep here. Let me hit like a little woody boot off to the side. Another play action. Let me get the tight end involved here. I mean, our tight end's our best player on the field. It doesn't matter who they're playing. Arguably, Brock is going to be the most talented player on the field. So let me find a way to get him involved somehow. Anytime the ball's in his hands, one, he breaks tackles, and then he likes to score. So let me find a way to get him involved.
Touchdown. Dogs score 6. Woodring comes in. Blanket Chip comes in, makes the extra point. There you go. And to that point, like, yeah, you run those plays. Say it doesn't work out. Maybe a ball gets tipped. Whatever. You got to get 3 out of that. You got to get 3. And in those situations, if that turnover, that's a turnover. When you miss a sub 30, if you miss any field goal, it's a turnover. You miss a sub 30-yard field goal, that's a turnover. And guess what the other team's doing? They're coming out and taking a shot, right? They're taking a shot deep. They're trying to take advantage of the moment. Just like, and watch this weekend with all the football you're going to be watching, just like when a blatant interception is dropped or a pick 6 is dropped, what do you think the play call is next? Dude, they're taking shots. They're going straight for the throat. It happens time and again. Great job there, Jake Fromm. Thank you for walking us through a tight red zone situation. All right, that was first down. Let's go to second down. We'll keep this one quick. Lane Kiffin's coming out and just poking the bear. Obviously, Ole Miss going to Tuscaloosa this weekend, they smell blood in the water big time. He has doubled down and continues to say publicly he doesn't think Kevin Steele, the defensive coordinator to Alabama, is calling the defense. This is so fascinating to me. Of course, it's Lane being Lane, But he goes on to discuss and kind of clarify his comments. He's like, look, based on what we saw on film and on the TV copy and how signals were being brought onto the field of play, we all know Kevin. We know all the guys on staff. We don't think Kevin's calling the defense. I don't know. Is this just typical Lane being Lane? I found this to be interesting in the fact that you don't really need to give Alabama any added juice when they're having so many troubles. You just let them kind of muster in their own nonsense, if you will.
Yeah, like take away what it is and just put yourself in Lane's shoes and just be thinking, what is the angle? Like, what am I trying to, what button am I trying to press? What am I trying to push here? I don't know. Maybe it's just Lane being Lane. Maybe he's just calling it how he sees it.
He says, quote, I was asked the question, what's it like going against Steele's defense? I'm not trying to start this big thing. We saw things on TV copy where it just was different. First off, what the play looked like, the calls and other stuff. So we looked into it further. And then it ain't no secret that people in these buildings know each other. So we obviously got some information that way too. I mean, just doubling down, being like, dude, it wasn't him last week. Fascinating. Saban came out and said, quote, on this other thing I hear floating around out there, I'm sure you've seen the same reports I have, is that Kevin Steele is the defensive coordinator. He has all the D coordinator responsibilities. So Kiffin stirred up enough that Saban has had to come out and say, this guy is our D coordinator.
Hey, man, that's just Kiffin. I mean, he's just, I think, trying to stir things up in that building, get them fighting each other.
He does a good job at it.
And maybe they'll just come out and be super vanilla because they don't know what's going on. So kudos to Kiffin, man. I'm expecting big things out of them this weekend. Because
you are Ole Miss.
Dude,
if not now, when?
When?
Yeah.
I mean, this is your moment, man. Blood's in the water. Go.
Kiffin told reporters Monday he wasn't attempting to make waves when he said it appeared that defensive backs coach Traveris Robinson had taken over play calling duties against USF. I mean, that is too funny. I agree with you, though. If not now, when? Bama doesn't have a quarterback. Like, this is the time you have to go into Tuscaloosa and beat them. Could you imagine if Alabama loses two home games in the month of September, both at home?
I've never witnessed it. Not in my lifetime.
No.
I mean, when I was maybe a kid, yeah, but not since I knew what football was and could walk and talk.
Woo! Did you ever have any relationship with Steele recruiting wise?
No.
LSU, Auburn, Texas, and then back to Alabama, I believe, is where he was.
Yeah, I mean, met him a few times in passing. Good dude, but nothing extraordinary.
Yeah, LSU, Auburn, and Miami, and now back at Alabama, where he was on Saban's initial staff in 2007. So, look, will this be a talking point on Saturday at 3:30? I bet you Nessler and Danielson talk about it. I bet you the guys before coverage starts discuss it. So, who knows? Kiffin being Kiffin, just kind of what you come to expect. All right, third down. Look, this is about to get nasty. It looks like Mel Tucker's going to get fired at Michigan State. They've come out and said, yes, we're planning on firing Mel Tucker with cause. Tucker has continued to make statements of his own. He came out today and said, this is clear that other motives are in play. Firing him would save Michigan State $79 million. He continues and he says he looks forward to having a discovery phase against Michigan State, including the trustees and the athletic department. This thing is going absolutely nowhere. It's fascinating, Jake. And fascinating may be the wrong word, but what I mean by that is that this is a storyline that will not end anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it's going to be around. I mean, I think Tuck's going to double down. And I mean, not that he wants his money, but I think he wants to try to clear his name. If that's the way things went down, I don't know. But if I believed that I was in the right and not in the wrong, I would be doubling down too. So we'll see where it goes. It's probably going to be around for a while, like you said.
Tucker in his statement, quote, let's be clear. I don't believe Michigan State plans to fire me because I admitted to an entirely consensual private relationship with another adult who once gave a presentation at Michigan State at my behest over 2 years ago. I mean, he's saying this has been happening. We were in a relationship. It was consensual. You have no grounds to fire me with cause. And Brenda Tracy, who's been around, she's done her presentation to just about every football team and athletic department out there. She has brought it on Mel Tucker. He is saying it's a sham. And when 79 million bones are at stake, buddy, giddy up. These lawyers are about to make bank.
Yeah, a lot of money's on the line. So we'll see how that goes, man.
Wow. Wow. And you're just not hearing a lot of people talk about it, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, you know, once the official firing happens, oh, yeah, they're going to be talking about it. No doubt about it. So
probably so. I think, too, just a lot of people waiting on more information. I mean, because I think the way a lot of similar things have happened, you know, you see this or you see that and you start choosing sides when you really don't have a whole lot of facts and information. So I think, especially me, before I want to go and say, oh, this person's in the right or this person's in the right, I want to see some facts laid out there, and that way I can at least know in my conscience how I feel about it.
Yeah, and I think that's what he said too. He's like, yeah, I don't even know how this information got out. Now the jury or, you know, the hearing is going to be completely biased. This is unfair. He look, he's got no shortage of change to go lawyer up and make it happen. All right, last thing before we get to the DB3 piece and prize picks, and then, of course, break down the games. It was reported today that Deion Sanders has filed for numerous trademarks. You know, I love Coach Prime now. I've got the trademarks pulled up right here, and I don't know if it's getting mixed reactions or what, but Deion has filed for the trademarks of Coach Prime, Prime Effect, Daddy Buck, and It's Personal. So Deion, you know, obviously sees what's happening around his program. Like the shades last week, selling 65,000 pairs in a week. He's saying, let me make an extra buck. And you know what? I don't blame him at all. I'm a Deion fan. Deion is not a businessman. He's a businessman. Shout out Jay-Z. That's just my thought. I love this guy.
That's good. Honestly, I'm surprised that a few of those weren't already trademarked.
I know.
Like Coach Prime, I figured he would already had that in the bag.
I totally agree with you. Got to get that going.
I'm surprised that it hasn't already been. Daddy Buck kind of threw me for a loop. Maybe you can explain that one. I don't know that one.
I don't know that one.
I have to ask some teammates about that tomorrow so I can Daddy Buck. Be educated on that one. But
Warren Sapp came out and said he's trying to be the defensive line coach for Colorado next season. Said he wants to go back to school, get his degree, and go coach with Deion at Colorado. It's crazy. It's crazy out in the streets of Colorado. All right. That's three and out. We had a couple penalties. We backed it up. We went three and out with five plays. Sue me. It's time for the prize pick segment of DB3 piece, okay?
It happens.
It's coming back with a vengeance this week. If you don't know what it is, lock in, download the Prize Picks app, use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. And we are college football focused this weekend, all Saturday action. Follow me on social media at Drew Butler. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass. It will be up there. Here are my picks. We're starting with the noon game, Florida State, Clemson. Clemson's offense actually finding some life. New offensive coordinator Garrett Shipley, Cade Klubnik, obviously slower start against Duke. They're going to need to run the ball this weekend. You have to. Florida State's defense has been a little suspect, allowing 29 points last week to Boston College. Will Shipley, running back for Clemson, he's getting in the end zone. They don't win this game if he doesn't score a touchdown. Will Shipley, running back Clemson, more than a half a touchdown. Will Shipley, more than a half a touchdown. You know it wouldn't be right if I didn't go to my guy, Shador Sanders, okay? He's going to have a huge, huge game. Colorado are prohibitive underdogs. 21-point dogs at Oregon. The total is 70.5. They're thinking points, 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 points. Shador Sanders is going to be airing it out as he has, Jake. Shador Sanders, more than 2.5 passing touchdowns. He'll get 3 passing touchdowns. He needs to. Rounding it out, Saturday Night Football in South Bend, touchdown Jesus. Marvin Harrison Jr. is getting in the end zone as well. Marvin Harrison Jr., more than a half a touchdown. That's the DB3 piece. It's hitting. I don't know what else to tell you. Will Shipley, Clemson running back, more than a half a touchdown. Shador Sanders, Colorado quarterback going up against Oregon, points, 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 more than 2.5 passing touchdowns. Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State wide receiver, more than a half a receiving touchdown. Those guys are going to be making it happen, lighting up the scoreboard this weekend. It will also light up your Prize Picks account. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. 100% deposit match up to $100. Lock in that DB3 piece. It'll make this amazing fall weekend that much better. All right, inside the five, and guess what? I have six games. Georgia game doesn't really count. They're playing UAB this weekend, but I'll be there. I'm fired up. Starting with that noon game, Jake. Number four, Florida State at Clemson. This is in Death Valley. Florida State's a 2.5-point favorite. The total is 55. This game is at noon on ABC. Your thoughts, my friend.
For Florida State to be the number four team in the country, playing an unranked Clemson, to only be in a 2.5-point favorite.
Yep, now you're talking.
Something's up, man.
Now you're talking.
Something's up. They like Clemson in this one. And I might be too. I don't know.
You think so? You think Dabo rights the wrongs here? He said, he said in his press conference this week, I've never seen anybody get a trophy after three games. He's lining it up, man.
I think they got to come out fighting. I really do. Florida State didn't look all that great last week. They're vulnerable in some spots. Man, I don't know. I think I'm going to be on the Dabo train this week.
You're riding with Clemson. Okay, I don't hate that. Florida State hasn't won at Clemson since 2013. Florida State hasn't won at Clemson since 10 years ago. I just said it in the DB3 piece. Their defense is suspect. They're allowing almost 400 yards per game. On the flip side, though, Clemson's offense against anybody who's been decent, that being Duke, did not look good whatsoever. Growing pains, new offensive coordinator. They're starting to pick up the pieces a little bit. I think Clemson leans on Will Shipley. I think this one is tight late. Clemson doesn't have a kicker. They don't have a kicker. They just got a guy from campus who had an extra year of eligibility. Dabo, his quote was, this will either be a great story or a total disaster. That's what he said. Dabo said that. If you don't have a kicker in a game like this, I have a hard time thinking you're going to be able to keep it within a field goal. So here's my guess. Florida State kicks a game-winning field goal to win by three. They cover the 2.5. Just line that up for you perfectly. I can't believe Dabo said that. He said this is either going to be a great story or a total disaster. At least he's aware.
Yeah, I got to be right. I mean, we'll see how it goes down. I'll definitely be watching now, especially if it's tight in the fourth quarter, because it's going to come down to it. And you know
it will. Yeah, it's going to be a close game no matter what. All right, got to go to the Colorado Buffs today. Yeah, it sucks they lost Travis Hunter. It probably hurts them more on the defensive side of the ball because he was a very good cornerback. Number 19, Colorado, at number 10, Oregon. Oregon is a huge 21-point favorite. The total is 70.5 points. That is way up there. This game is at 3:30 on ABC. Bo Nix, Shedeur Sanders. This is a prime quarterback matchup. Man, it sucks Travis Hunter's out.
Yeah, I really like what you said. I think it's going to hurt Colorado a lot more on the defensive side of the ball and trying to slow down the Oregon offense because they got some other dudes playing receiver.
Colorado that Xavier Worthy guy is a freaking stud.
I mean, Shador's got some guys to throw the ball to. Do not be surprised, you know, these guys showing up and having some great games.
Xavier Weaver, excuse me. Yes, keep going.
So, yeah, I mean, I still think Colorado's going to come out swinging. You can kind of see their vulnerability a little bit in the Colorado State game. You know, maybe the moment got too big. I don't know. I don't think the moment will be too big for them this week, though. I expect them to score a lot of points and be ready to roll, but it is a big road test. We'll see how it goes, man. I think Bo's going to come out fighting, and I think Bo's going to have a really good game. So,
what do you think about Lanning? You think Lanning is the kind of guy who can galvanize his defense and say we're going to pride ourselves in shutting down Shedeur in this offense, because Colorado's offense has been hanging it up, man. They're putting tons of points on the board.
I think if anybody can, it is Lanning. Lanning's had a lot of success, obviously, at Georgia with different dudes playing defense now. Yep. But he had a lot of success at Georgia, man, with scheme stuff up, we'll call a great game. So he's definitely going to have his hand in the defense a lot this week. Because you don't want to be a young coach with a great opportunity and lose these games. So
yeah,
he's going to be very, very well involved this week in game planning.
I'm going to take the over. I mean, 70.5, that'd just be fun to watch. It'd be sacrilege to go under that number, even though it might completely not even touch it. But I definitely would take the points here. I just think there's too much excitement. Colorado's offense can keep pace if there's chinks in the armor on Oregon's defense. Again, I know it sucks Travis Hunter's out, but Xavier Weaver is a freaking baller. Jimmy Horn Jr. can run around as well. That tight end got activated last week against Colorado State. And this is a statement game for Shador and for Coach Prime. They keep it within 21. I mean, are you kidding me? Give me 21 points. I'll take 21 against anybody, anybody when it comes to the Colorado Buffalo. So this will be a great game. I hope you have two TVs, because you're going to want to be watching that one. And our next game is the CBS SEC 330 game, number 15 Ole Miss at number 13 Alabama. Bama is only a 6.5 point favorite. The total is 55.5. So many storylines here. Yeah, Kiffin's chirping the Alabama coaching staff, but don't forget Pete Golding, the former Alabama defensive coordinator, is now the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss.
Dude, honestly, I'm surprised that Alabama is a 6.5 point favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, I could totally see a 2.5, a 3. I like Ole Miss all day in this one. I don't know why, but it's just, I feel it. It's in the air. Just like fall is in the air right now.
Okay.
I'm feeling the Ole Miss Rebels right now. And I think certainly it's time.
They win the quarterback battle. I mean, you already know that. They can run the ball. Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah, they got better running back. I mean,
and look, if their defense is suspect, well, Alabama's offense is more suspect than that.
Yeah.
Got some stats for you. Got some Phil Steele stats for you. Bama has won 7 straight against Ole Miss, but only 3-4 against the spread. Bama is 7-0 straight up, 4-3 against the spread in SEC home openers since 2016. The last loss was against Ole Miss in 2015. So look, if not now, when? You don't make bank fading Alabama. It's something that I've said for 7 years on this podcast. But in this instance, I got to take the 6.5 with Ole Miss. I mean, is that the square play? Is that what the odds makers are luring me into doing, Drew? Yeah, think that you're smarter than us. Yeah, you know everything. Yeah, Alabama's no good. Luring us. I just can't get over the quarterback play, Jake. I can't get over that.
It is one or the other. It is Kiffin wins, dethrones Alabama, is the new head coach of Alabama next year. Or it's the same old Kiffin.
Just and dropping the ball.
And they get boat raced out of Bryant-Denny Stadium and back to Mississippi.
But there's no way. Like, they can't score. I don't know, dude. I'm fascinated by that game. Literally fascinated by that game.
You
don't think those players are going to be nervous? You don't think that coaching staff's like, dude, we've got to put a good game plan together. We have to execute.
But I think the Alabama players are more nervous, or maybe they don't care. I don't know.
No, I agree with that's what I'm saying. I agree with you. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Alabama players.
Like, to be an Alabama football player and lose not once but twice in a season, and then twice at home,
dude, you wouldn't even want to go to class
in back to back home games,
dude.
Bro, what?
I know that would be insane. We'll see if it happens. That's going to be a good game. All right, let's go 7:30. We'll go quick here. Number 6, Ohio State at number 9, Notre Dame. Ohio State, 3-point favorite on the road. The total's 55.5, 7:30 p.m. on NBC. Look, Kyle McCord, the quarterback at Ohio State, kind of still battling it out. He's cemented himself as the air quote starter. He's got no shortage of amazing wide receivers. Sam Hartman on the other side. I said he's ripping it up. 13 tutties, just one interception. This is a show me what you got game for Notre Dame, dude. If they win this game, I mean, it's a cakewalk to the college football playoff, with really the only tough test left being that USC game against Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I like Sam Hartman, so I like Notre Dame. I just don't know if Ohio – I think Ohio State has the dudes, but I think they're kind of similar to Georgia in a sense of I like Carson better than Kyle McCord, obviously, but I just don't think they've figured out the offensive side of the ball yet. So, man, it's going to be a big atmosphere. I like Notre Dame in this one. I like Sam Hartman. Better quarterback.
Yeah, a better quarterback, home, primetime underdog. This is a big test for Sam Hartman, though. Ohio State's defense ranks second in yards per play and second in total yards allowed in the nation. I just think living off of the big explosive chunk play like Ohio State does puts Kyle McCord in a tough spot in a game like this where you know that's going to be grinding, you know it's going to be late. I hope Marvin Harrison Jr. does capitalize on one of those explosive plays for the DB3 piece. But I go back to the quarterback, Sam Hartman, take him over Kyle McCord. And really here, I like Marcus Freeman from an emotional standpoint, being an Ohio State alum. From a prove-it standpoint, this is a hang-your-hat type game for his head coaching tenure. He knows that this game, and the players at Notre Dame know, that this game vaults them directly into the college football playoff conversation. They play USC at home October 14th. They go to Clemson November 4th. Notre Dame, home dogs, that's it. You and I are on the same side there. Number 24, Iowa. Number 7, Penn State. This is your whiteout game. Penn State's a 15-point favorite. The total is 40. This game is at 7:30 p.m. on CBS. Yeah, this is your CBS doubleheader. Big Ten taking over CBS next year. Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson on the call. That will feel weird. Late night CBS action, Big Ten football. Penn State's a 15-point favorite. Are you aware of the contract clause in Brian Ferentz's, the offensive coordinator at Iowa's, contract this year? So much has been made in years past. Iowa's offense can't score. They're stuck in a box. All it is runs and play action. Well, his dad's the head coach, Kirk Ferentz. So it was publicly made knowledge that in Brian Ferentz's contract, Iowa has to score 25 points per game this year, or else he's not coaching there next year. Did you know that? By the looks of it, you did not know that.
No, that is so interesting to me.
They have to average 25 points per game for him to keep his job.
And that just blows me away. I don't know what to say.
Let me just read some of the offensive totals from last year. Week 1, 7. Week 2, 7. Week 3, 27. Week 4, 27. Week 5, 14. Week 6, 6. Week 7, 10. They couldn't score a year ago. He's got to score 25 a game.
I can't wait to wake up and go to the QB room tomorrow morning and talk about this with the guys and see what they say.
You better.
Because this is just astounding to me, and never heard anything like it. I don't think they'll score a lot of points. Got Penn State. Father-in-law's a Penn State guy. We are on this one.
All right. I'll follow your lead on that one. Penn State at home, night game. They forced 5 turnovers a week ago at Illinois. Kept them in that game. Kind of a sloppy midday, noon, Big Ten kickoff, as you'd expect. They got away with that one. You can't go against this environment. Penn State. Minus 15. Iowa does always keep this game chippy, though, historically. All right, last thoughts. I'll be there. UAB at Georgia, 7:30 p.m., ESPN2. Dogs are a 42-point favorite. My goodness. Trent Dilfer coming out with some pretty cool quotes this week. You know, he's the new head coach at UAB. Yeah. He said there's nothing like playing in the SEC. The atmosphere at night, quote, it just means more is real. I've played in a Super Bowl. This is way cooler than that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a cool take. And honestly, I mean, pretty strong stance to take. That's a hill I'm willing to die on. So
yeah,
I'm a big fan of Trent Dilfer, and I think those guys have come out swinging. But I think the Dogs have a lot to prove in this game.
Man, do they ever!
And so I expect them to come out swinging hard. I expect them to fire on just about all cylinders as good as they can, and I expect them to score a lot of points. So even though it's a big one, I'm feeling lucky on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, what do you want to see? You want to see crisp offensive activity in the red zone. You want to see no injuries. You want to see a sound game plan where Georgia executes middle of the third quarter. They start rotating guys in, and you can kind of sense the focus on the sideline shifting towards Auburn. That's what you want to see. Because that Auburn game, I think Auburn's going to beat A&M this weekend at A&M.
I do too.
two undefeated teams. It's the CBS 330 kickoff next week. Carson's first road game. It is going to be a true test of metal. I don't care what Auburn's roster looks like. I don't care what their record is. Those fans are going to be wild. Hugh Freeze hung it on Kirby, Kirby's first year. Were you in that game? No, that was
No. Yeah, I was right for me.
Whoa. Yeah. So there'll just be a lot of great storylines, but that's what I want to see. Offensive efficiency in the red zone. No injuries. Get the backups in mid third quarter. Shift the focus towards Auburn. Should be a great night in Athens. Dude, the weather looks perfect. I'll be there with all the girls. If you see me, holler at me. That's what I do.
I'll send you a pic on the TV.
Perfect. Perfect.
I'll find you.
There you go. You definitely will. All right. That was week four, Punt and Pass, presented to you by Prize Picks. You already know the drill. This is the best weekend of the year to get down on Prize Picks, Major League Baseball, college football, the DB three piece. They have it all. You can win 25 times your money. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake, puntandpass.com. Jake, anything on the way out, my man?
No, man. Excited for the weekend. Obviously, big weekend in college football. We played the Buffalo Bills, team okay. I drafted on. So,
big
weekend for all of us, man. The weather is turning right, and it's a good time to be alive.
Still got a bunch of friends over there. Obviously, all the athletic trainers, coaches are all the same still. That'd be cool, man.
Yep, it's going to be real cool. So we'll see. We'll see when we get there.
Awesome, my man. Okay, well, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday. See ya.
We out.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.